Okay, welcome back to our eighth Ruth Cook session. So in the last couple of times we were together trying to trace the story of Ruth Cook's Zionism. So we started with Am Yisrael. I think two sessions ago we went through Am Yisrael's role as a whole. We went through Skulas Yisrael, the individual Jew. Last time we went through the relationship between the individual Jew and the nation and what the role of nation is. And now we're going to turn, now part of Zionism, not just Am Yisrael, it's Am Yisrael's return to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, therefore today, we'll focus on Eretz Yisrael. Next time, I think we'll focus on more of the political historical realities Rav Cook was dealing with. We'll focus on his speech at the memorial for Herzl and Famish Taif. And then we'll continue the story as far down as it goes. But this week, God willing, we'll focus on Rav Cook's writings about Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and the relationship thereof. So if you open up the book Orot, the first piece is this piece, Orot Eretz Yisrael Peska Aleph. I have to say that this is one of my favorite pieces, just because when I was trying to get into Rav Cook, I probably opened up the book like a dozen times trying to read it. I always tried to read the first piece, not really understanding what in the world I was talking about, until I found myself an older chavrusa, and we sort of went through it together. But I really remember... over the course of several months, like trying to tackle this piece by myself, and finally, even my gaiva had a break at some point, and I had to admit defeat, and I went to older people in the base madrash to ask them. But Rav Cook starts off talking about Eretz Yisrael as follows. So the way the structure of this year is going to be: first, we're going to talk about the relationship between a Jew and Eretz Yisrael, and then we're going to talk about some of the spiritual qualities of Eretz Yisrael. What makes Eretz Yisrael unique? But first, I'm going to focus on the relationship between a Jew and Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Cook writes as follows. Eretz Yisrael inena davar chitzoni. Eretz Yisrael is not something external. Kinyan chitzoni l'uma, something external for the nation. Rak b'tor emtsa'i l'matara shel hitzagdut haklalit v'hachzakat kiyuma chomri afilu ruchani. Eretz Yisrael is not just something that happens to be necessary, that Am Yisrael needs a place, so they have to be somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. The source user over here. Rather, Eretz Yisrael hi chativa atzmutit. It is its own independent entity. Kishura b'kesher chayim im ha'uma. It is inbound with living bounds with the nation. Chavuka b'sgulat p'niyot im mitziyota. It is bound with some type of segula with the nation's reality. So what are the two options Rav Cook is charting out over here? So option number one is that really what Judaism is about people following God's will. And we have a whole Torah, we have mitzvot, we have a lifestyle, we have what Am Yisrael is supposed to do, we have what the individual Jew is supposed to do. God needed Am Yisrael to live together. He needed to put them somewhere, so he put them in the Middle East. It was at the middle of all the trade routes, and it was good weather compared to other places and the different topography. You know, whatever you want to say about the Shavak of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem needed to put Am Yisrael somewhere, so he put them in a nice place. He put them in Eretz Yisrael. In Rav Cook's time period, if you look at think of Shlomo Avinir in his footnotes. He points out that this is exactly what Rav Hirsch writes in the 19 letters. When Rav Hirsch is trying to define in 19 letters what is the essence of the religion, he talks about how the essence of the religion are the people and the Torah, and it's really a non-physical religion. It's really about non-physicality, meaning not about having a country and a land and things like that. But Hashem wanted Am Yisrael to live together, which are national mitzvos, and therefore he told them to live in a certain place together. But really, you're not lacking so much if you're living as a community or even maybe as an am in another location. You're lacking something, but not something essential. And Rav Cook is here, it's just sort of before that. Rav Cook here is saying, no, Eretz Yisrael is not a kinyan chitzoni. It's not there as an emtsa'i, as a means for something else. It is something essential for Am Yisrael. U'mitokach, and because of the relationship between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, this sort of like symbiotic relationship that they need each other, you can never really put your finger on the actual essence of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, on the third line, and to bring into actuality the love a Jew is supposed to have for Eretz Yisrael. You can't rationally come to the conclusion that Eretz Yisrael is essential for the Jewish people, for what Jews need to do in this world. Whether it's some type of Ruach Hashem that allows Am Yisrael, allows a Jewish person to sense that Eretz Yisrael is super important for the mission. Because if you want to define Am Yisrael's mission as to make a Kiddush Hashem. Mifarsim Shem Shemayim Ba'olam. To be a model nation. So non-Jews could look at the Jewish people and say, to make a Kiddush Hashem. In theory, all those things could take place elsewhere. They could take place in Uganda, as long as the Jewish people are living according to Torah values wherever they are. So rationally, it's very hard to understand why Am Yisrael needs to be living on this geographic location in order to fulfill its mission. But if somebody is sensitive to the Ruach Hashem Asher Al Umah B'Chalah, some type of spirituality, some type of non-rational koach that we have, that's when they could sense that no. That even though it's hard to put your finger on why, Am Yisrael's mission, a Jewish person, could only fully fulfill themselves and their mission when they're living on this small geographic strip of land. If you look at let's skip to the next paragraph for a second. Rav Kook says this actually has nafkaminos. Hamakshava, if you see the beginning of the line, Hamakshava al dvar Eretz Yisrael, shirak irach chitzoni, kedei hamadas agudas uma. The thought that Eretz Yisrael is just a means towards an end of you need people to live together, so God gave them a particular piece of land. Afilo kishiba kedei levatzer al yada esharion hayadut bagula. Why might somebody think this? Because Jews are living in Galus, and you don't want to tell them you're missing something essential. You don't want to tell them that what you're doing is really only 75%, and you can only max out 75%, whatever the percentages are. So therefore, what do you say? Really, Judaism is about Torah mitzvot. It's about making Kiddush Hashem. It's about being an Or L'Gayim. And you could really do that wherever you are. So it makes sense why in Galus people would educate more towards the Rav Hirsch approach. In order to preserve the nation's stature, and that's going to strengthen people's shmiras mitzvos. This is not going to last. Because this is just fundamentally untrue to the nature of the Torah. What is truly going to strengthen Jews in Galus? Boyavo, it will come. Rach mitzad omek shikuo b'Eretz Yisrael. Only if you educate while you're in Galus towards the importance of Eretz Yisrael. And you can really see two different educational tracks, meaning the B'nai Akiva Moshava track in Chutz La'aretz does this. It's like, you know, you're living in Galus, but everything about the educational programming is about the chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. And the other track, some of us might have been educated in, is basically de-emphasizes it. Or not just de-emphasize it. Same way, like, you know, when you have your principal standing up on a Friday or before a Chag, they're not going to talk about the chashivas of Karbanos. And that's the message you go home for the Yom Tov with. Because that's not the relevant message. Because, yeah, Karbanos are important in Torah's vision, but it's not something which kids could take away with. It's not something which you could put your finger on. And therefore, the message is going to be about Lashon Hara, about Talmud Torah, about davening, about things which are practical, things which are relevant for you. So you can really see these two educational tracks in Galus. And Rav Kook is saying that one has Kiyum, one doesn't have Kiyum. Why does it doesn't have Kiyum? Because it's simply not true. Could you prove it's not true? Could you prove Eretz Yisrael is more than just a place for Am Yisrael to live and be together? Rav Kook is saying that you could prove it from sources, but the only way to truly experience it, to viscerally grasp it, is through this Ruach Hashem Asher Al Umah. So really in the first piece over here, in Eretz Yisrael, you see Rav Kook saying that Eretz Yisrael is like a independent entity, and that independent entity is necessary to be bounded with Am Yisrael in order for Am Yisrael to truly live out its potential. comments are welcome, but if not, I'm happy to go on. Therefore, one other idea that's an appendix to this is really literally the next piece in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook says, through the distance from learning Kabbalah, from learning the secrets of the Torah, ba karas shel kedushas Eretz Yisrael b'tzura mitushtashas. If you just read pshat in Chumash, and you just read pshat in Halacha in particular, you might get a blurred vision of the importance of Eretz Yisrael. You might get Rav Hirsch is a bad guy in this year. Rav Hirsch is amazing, but you might get a Hirschian vision of the chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Hirsch was not a Zionist. Rav Hirsch said there is an important, the Jews have a mission in Galus to be an Or L'Gayim, and the best way to be an Or L'Gayim in nowadays is to live among the non-Jews and be a model community. And that's what Rav Hirsch preached, and that's what Rav Hirsch lived. And Rav Hirsch did amazing things with the Jews in Germany. But Rav Kook is saying, where does that come from? It comes from a lack of learning of Kabbalah. Because if you learn Kabbalah, that's where this Ruach Hashem HaShavu'ma, that's where this non-rational. You can't, maybe you can't prove it, but it's visceral, it's experiential. It's something which you deeply, deeply feel. That's those types of Torahs, the Kabbalah, Chassidus, whatever you want to say, that is what brings out that part of the neshama. And therefore, the more you learn this part of the Torah, the more you're going to feel that Eretz Yisrael is essential to you being Jewish, your Avodas Hashem. The less you learn Kabbalah, at least then it's possible to think you could live a full Jewish life in Chutz La'aretz. Fantastic. So Rav Kook starts off and wrote Eretz Yisrael. The way Rav Tzvi organized it is that Eretz Yisrael is essential for Am Yisrael. It's essential for the individual Jew. What are some ramifications of this? What are some nafkaminas of this? Where does this express itself? So Rav Kook, I mean, the first half of the story is literally just going through the opening passages in a row, one after the other, because Rav Tzvi Yehuda, you know, he doesn't mean my haskama, but he organized it in a very, very amazing fashion. If you look at source number 3, Rav Kook writes, "E efshar le'adam Yisrael, it is impossible for a Jewish person, shi'a masur v'ne'eman, to be loyal, l'makshavosav v'hegyonosav, to his thoughts, rhinosav, his ideas, v'diminosav, and his imagination, the Chutz La'aretz, while living in Chutz La'aretz, kitchunat tana emunot tazos be'Eretz Yisrael. The way a Jew is loyal to his own thoughts in Eretz Yisrael." What does this mean? So we saw in previous sessions, Rav Kook felt that the Jewish person has some type of segula, some type of neshama, some type of kadosh neshama. It's always connected to Hashem, and the purpose of Torah mitzvot, to a degree, is to bring that out. So what is Rav Kook saying? That you have an inner essence. Where could you be totally loyal to that inner essence? Only when you're living in Eretz Yisrael. If you're living in Chutz La'aretz, you could learn Torah all day. You could be a Rishim Bar Yochai Jew and learn Torah 24/7, but you're not going to be totally loyal to that inner essence of a Jew. What does Rav Kook say? Let's go on. Hufa'at HaKodesh, Be'iza Madriga Shehen, the revelation of holiness, and whatever level this happens, Nikios hein be'Eretz Yisrael b'fi ha'erech. V'chutz la'aretz, mu'urvos hein b'sigim u'klipos m'ruvim. In Chutz La'aretz, whatever Torah you're learning, whatever Judaism you're practicing, is going to be blurred. It's going to be mixed in with some klipos. In Eretz Yisrael, that's where it's straight, and that's where you can be totally loyal to yourself. Think about what this means. Think about how many Jews live in Chutz La'aretz. How many tzaddikim live in Chutz La'aretz? No, the Rambam lived in Chutz La'aretz. Talmud Bavli was written in Chutz La'aretz. And what's Rav Kook saying about these things? Obviously, he's not disparaging Talmud Bavli. He's not disparaging the Rambam. But he's saying that in order to be 100% totally loyal to your Jewish neshama, that could only happen in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Torah ideas that are formulated in Chutz La'aretz might be amazing, might be inspirational, might be Torah ideas, but there's going to be something lacking about them. And that's what Rav Kook writes in the next source, in source number 4. Rav Kook writes, Yitzira atzmit Yisraelit, a true essential Jewish creation, b'machshava u'b'tokev ha'chayim b'mifal, whether in thought, what does it mean in thought? A Torah idea, a Jewish idea, or b'tokev ha'chayim b'mifal, or in actual life, e afshar l'Yisrael ela b'Eretz Yisrael, could only take place in Eretz Yisrael, could only happen in Eretz Yisrael. So what is Rav Kook saying, just take the line of argument to the end, what is Rav Kook saying about Talmud Bavli? What is Rav Kook saying about Jewish communities in America and England, around the world? That they're amazing, they're great. Rav Kook embraced Talmud Bavli, he knew Talmud Bavli by heart. But at the same time, there is going to be something lacking about them. Because they were done in Chutz La'aretz, because creativity means you're bringing out your neshama to the outside. And in Chutz La'aretz, there's something, the Jewish neshama can't reach its full potential, can't reach its full expression. You're not living among the Am, first of all, as we saw last time around. But for the Jewish neshama to fully express itself, you have to be connected to Am Yisrael. And also, you have to be living in Eretz Yisrael. Why does a particular piece of land allow you to express your neshama more? We can't really put our finger on it. But experientially, it's something which Rav Kook says we experience, he experiences, he writes that a Jewish person should experience it, and that's manifest, that expresses itself in the types of Torah, types of creations that are produced in Eretz Yisrael versus in Chutz La'aretz. I think also, in Shlomo Avinyar's footnotes to this piece, he says that, you know, there are three main parts of Torah. There is Tanakh, that Nevuah, we know, only happens in Eretz Yisrael. Then there's Halakha. What was the first halakhic book ever written? The Mishnah, Eretz Yisrael, and Kabbalah. And in the whole world of Makshava, which is rooted in Kabbalah, according to Rav Kook, where did that start? the Zohar, also written in Eretz Israel. So the beginnings of the main Anafim, the main branches of Torah, were all sourced in Eretz Israel. And it had to be that way. Rav Kook writes it somewhere, because you want the beginning to be a true Jewish creation. The Perushim, the Targumim, the interpretations and the working through the original text and coming up with the body of literature that we have with Talmud Bavli and all the Perushim, that could take place in Chutz Laaretz. But the original creations of these three areas of Torah, which are the three main areas of Torah, Tanakh, Halacha, and the Makshava, had to happen in Eretz Yisrael. And we're not going to focus on it today. Maybe we should have. But Rav Kook has a whole, his writings about Torah's Eretz Yisrael, about changing the curriculum a little bit, introducing more Talmud Yerushalmi, Halacha Brura, both in the world of Halacha and the world of Makshava. These ideas are manifest. Rav Kook, again, Talmud Bavli was the main part of the curriculum, even in Merkaz Arav, even as the Nazir developed the curriculum. But it was contextualized within a lot of Talmud Yerushalmi, within a lot of Makshava, within a lot of Eretz Yisrael writings. And that's going to balance out some of the sigim, that's the word Rav Kook uses, that appear in Talmud Bavli, which is like an amazing thing to say. Yeah, sorry, Sam.
What it says about Rov Rishon and Achronim, like more like a Shavuos question, which the Torah is given, and then according to all the things of the Gemara, completed before we get into Eretz Yisrael.
Right, good.
Address?
So I'm forgetting, there are several different midrashim as to why the Torah was given in Chutz Laaretz. One of them is, it's Hefker Dechol Ba'yolam, that's the Mechotel of Rishmal. But one of them was that really the Torah should have been given in Eretz Yisrael. It was just given in Chutz Laaretz, so there wouldn't be infighting among the Shvatim, because in anywhere in Eretz Yisrael would have been given, would have had to be given in a land of a particular Shevet. So that sounds like, ideally, it should have been given in Eretz Yisrael, but there's just like a technical reason. I don't remember if Cook addresses it himself. Do you know? But there are different Midrashim. Some Midrashim embrace the fact it was given in Chutz Laaretz, Hefker Lechol Ba'yolam, Makum Dimos Farhasya. There's another set of Midrashim that say, no, they really should have given Eretz Yisrael, just for technical reasons, it couldn't be given in Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like it's working off of those things. Let me try to put the AC back on. Or we could just open the windows again. Thank you, Danny. So one ramification of the idea that Eretz Yisrael is essential for a Jewish person is just the way you evaluate yourself. In Chutz Laaretz, your ideas, the Torah you produce is going to be a little bit metushtash, a little bit blurred. In Eretz Yisrael, that's where you could be true to the nature of your own Jewish neshama. Another manifestation or amplification of this notion that a Jew's place is Eretz Yisrael, and a Jew can only be fully Jewish, so to speak, in Eretz Yisrael, could fully express their Jewishness in Eretz Yisrael, is not in terms of how to evaluate the Torah or the ideas that are produced in one place versus another, but experientially. How do you feel when you're in Eretz Yisrael versus how do you feel when you're in Chutz Laaretz? I guess we were just discussing this a couple seconds ago. Source number 5 is not in the book Orot, it's in Shmona Kvatzem. This is something in Rav Kook's diaries that he wrote, if I recall correctly, when he was stuck in England during World War I. So he writes as follows, source number 5. Halev mitzgagat acharei hasaga shel Eretz Yisrael. The heart yearns for the understanding of Eretz Yisrael. Acharei ha'emunah shel Eretz Yisrael, after the faith of Eretz Yisrael. Acharei kedusha shel Eretz Yisrael. Ayin lochem et ha'simcha shel Eretz Yisrael. Where can you take the simcha of Eretz Yisrael? Et ha'shalva p'nimit shel Eretz Yisrael, the inner serenity of Eretz Yisrael. Et ha'devekus shel Eretz Yisrael, the devekus. Et ha'emesh shel Eretz Yisrael, the truth of Eretz Yisrael. Et ha'oz ve'omesh shel Eretz Yisrael, the strength and the courage of Eretz Yisrael. Et ha'bitachon shel Eretz Yisrael. Chus ha'ashem, Hashem have mercy, rachemna, kila rachom nechanon, chamona b'zakenina, v'shovi lecha b'tshuva shlema. So this is a piece Rav Kook writes in his diaries while in Chutz Laaretz. Where can I find the amazing life I had in Eretz Yisrael? And it ends with the tefillah, Hashem, please return me back to Eretz Yisrael. Rachim, rachim, avarachman, chusna, oshiyana, hakela, mashiach. So it's a beautiful tefillah. But if you look at these qualities or characteristics that Rav Kook identifies as things that he had in Eretz Yisrael, but he lost when he was in England, so you have Hasaga Shal Eretz Yisrael, the Hasaga. Good. Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machkem. No, there is an idea in the Gemara that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you can understand Torah better. Emunah of Eretz Yisrael. Good, Eretz Yisrael is a spiritual place, so you could have more Emunah. Kedusha. Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael is a halachic topic. That's all over the Gemara. But if you go on, what about Shava Pnimit? What about inner serenity? Like, what does inner serenity have to do with Eretz Yisrael? Where in the sources, where in the earlier sources, you find this idea that in Eretz Yisrael, you have more Shava Pnimit. You're more at peace with yourself. You're not as anxious, not as tense. Where does it come from? Clearly, my sense is that where do you feel the most serene? At home. When you're a foreigner, so you feel, when you're in somebody else's house, whatever, when you're a guest, so you feel a little bit tense, a little bit of a lack of ease. You can't just walk into the, open up the fridge and just like take something and walk out, whatever. You're going to feel a little bit guilty about it. So in Eretz Yisrael, that's where a Jew feels at home. That's where Rav Kook felt at home. That's where he felt Shava Panimit. And that's why you see this in other writings Rav Kook has. That's why being in Eretz Yisrael is not just about Kedusha, and it's about holiness and Emunah and more, and being able to produce a different type of Torah. It's really about a feeling of hominess, a feeling of being at home, which comes with Simcha, which comes with Shava Panimit. And where does that come from? Comes from the first piece in Arot that Rav Kook felt, and that Eretz Yisrael is essential to bringing out the true neshama of a Jew. It's not just an erech chitzoni, a kinyan chitzoni, it's a means towards an end. Am Yisrael needs to live together somewhere, so God gave them this strip of land. It's something essential to the Jewish neshama. And going back to the Sefer Arot, you look at source number 6, Rav Kook has, it's a very long piece, but I just wanted to highlight a couple of lines. Rav Kook writes, Kol ma shekasha yoter lizbol is avir chutzaretz. The more it is difficult to bear the air of chutzaretz, kol ma shemagishim yoser es ruach hatoma shel adama tmeya. The more that you sense the impure air of an impure country, zeu siman the klita yoser pnimei shekedushas eretz Yisrael lechesed elyon. When you go to chutzaretz, you're supposed to feel at unease. You're supposed to, it's kasha lizbol. It's hard to bear it. That's the way Rav Kook felt. I mean, the thing that the story is that Rav Yaakov Moshe Karlap, one of the students of Rav Kook, after Rav Kook passed away, he took over Merkaz Rav for a little bit. He was supposed to fly to Chutz Laaretz to fundraise, and he was in the airport, and he just like couldn't get on the plane. He was shaking. Again, this is what Rav Kook writes, and it comes from this feeling of hominess, that it's kasha lizbol if you're a foreigner in a foreign land, and it's very difficult there. And particularly if you feel like it's impure, so it's very, very hard to do that. The more you understand the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and how it impacts your own neshama, the more you're going to feel at home here and at lack of at home in Chutz Laaretz. Just as to bracket this, I think for most people here are Olim. I think for Olim, sometimes it's flipped, because some of us haven't yet been Kodet the entire Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And and we grew up for many good years in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore sometimes we feel more at home in culturally at least in Chutz Laaretz than in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying this is something which some Olim have experienced. But according to Rav Kook, it's really flipped, and it's amazing to read. And I think hopefully for those people that make Aliyah and end up staying, even though there might be sometimes. There are cultural gaps and there are language gaps and there are bureaucracy to deal with, things like that. There are times you just like feel this is the right place. This is where God wants me to be. And it's and that feeling of connection, that this is the place God wants me to be. And even if culturally it might be difficult, reading Rav Kook, I think, is sometimes be very much machazik, that this is home. This is where the Shava Panimit is supposed to be. And with time, you could actually get there. Rav Kook was definitely all that as well. But Rav Kook was a very spiritually sensitive Ola, and it sounds like he felt choked when he went back to Chutz Laaretz. You read the stuff he wrote when he was stuck in England during World War I, it's like unbelievable. It's like half the passages are like, I don't have the passages, I never did a full study, are like, now Hashem, thank you so much for giving me the Avir Adar Yisrael, even Chutz Laaretz. The Gemara says that a Navi who starts being Misnavi in Eretz Yisrael and then goes to Chutz Laaretz, he can continue his Nibbul in Chutz Laaretz. Rav Kook felt there was a Tzinor, he was connected to Eretz Yisrael. And some of the passages, like the ones we just read, like, God, get me out of here. Like, I can't bear this anymore. I think there's a story. They published the letters of Yaakov Moshe Karlap and Rav Kook. So during World War I, Yaakov Moshe Karlap was at the Kotel once, and he was davening, and he felt the presence of Rav Kook. He writes this in his letters, and he wrote, sends a letter to Rav Kook, and then, if I recall the story correctly, Rav Kook wrote that he, at the same time, he was thinking about Yaakov Moshe Kalab and thinking about the Kotel. Like one of these freaky stories. These were real Mekubalim. Like, you look at their letters back and forth, they're talking about how they're both Gilgulim with different Neshamos, and the Yichud between them and the other people in their Chavra are going to create Tikkunim. These are like a real Mekubalim. For some reason, their personal letters got published. I don't know why. But it's a fascinating thing that Rav Kook really felt there was a tzinor that was opened from London to Eretz Israel. In London, that's where he wrote Reish Milin. Reish Milin is his most esoteric, Kabbalistic work going through the Aleph phase, letter by letter. You open it up, you read it, there are no sentences. It's all like Aleph. It's like three-word phrases, one after another, for like half a page, and it's Arzbet. It's the most esoteric, directly Kabbalistic work Rav Kook wrote. And the pshat seems to be, you know, you're in Chutz Laaretz, you're in the World War One is happening. You go back to the basics, and you start with the Aleph phase. Like, you know, you have to darshan the Aleph phase. But it's a different style of writing than the rest of Rav Kook, which is interesting. Another ramification of the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, a Jewish person feels at home. It's part of your neshama. So number one was the way you evaluate thoughts in Torah. Number two was a feeling of hominess. So look at source number seven. This is a wild piece. This is a piece which I think if you would read it to somebody coming from a different school of thought, they would think it is a very, very dangerous piece. Rav Kook writes as follows. In Eretz Yisrael, you could walk around with some type of abstract thought. So let yourself daydream, let yourself wonder, let your mind wonder. And we're certain that after you're a good person, you want to do what God wants, and your kavanah is Hashem Shemayim, and that God is going to send some type of spirit down, and you're going to be machavi into the truth. And afterwards, you have a conclusion, you'll find your source in the Torah for it. But in a Chutz La'aretz, you have to fence in your thoughts. And how do you reach your conclusions? Based on the osios of the Torah. So what is he describing over here? In Chutz La'aretz, I have to make a life decision. I don't know where I should send my kids to school. I don't know where I should live. I don't know any life decision you want to make. So what do you have to do? You can't just trust your intuition. You have to sit down and find Makoros and build up a life philosophy, build up an answer based on the Makoros. Anybody that's familiar with Rav Soloveitchik's philosophy, and he has a whole book, Halachic Mind, this is exactly what he says to do. Any philosophical topic, any topic about meaning, you have to find the halachic source, and find the halachos that are relevant, and build up from the halachos, from the details of halacha. To osios, the letters of the Torah are bonei hamakshava, they build your thoughts. And what does Rav Kook say about Eretz Yisrael? Sit back, obviously not sit back, but you have to, you only want to make a decision, trust your intuition a lot more. Let your mind wander. Your kavanah is l'shem shemayim, and whatever conclusion you reach, then you look in the Torah and you'll find some type of source for it. Yeah. You see why this is a dangerous idea. You see why when I showed this to one of my rebbeim, they were not so happy with this. But what's pshat? Where's Rav Kook getting this from? Because again, the Jewish neshama naturally is good. It's naturally kadosh. It wants to emerge. Intuitions, Rav Kook really, really felt. Not every intuition. You can't trust everything. But intuitions are a very important a portal to the Jewish neshama. Because where do your intuitions come from? Where do your thoughts come from? They come from your subconscious, which is, you know, some type of inner psyche, which is some type of neshama. So in Eretz Yisrael, the tzinor, the pathway out, is much more direct. And therefore, you could trust your intuitions a lot more. In Chutz La'aretz, you can't, because your neshama can't come out as much. And it's not the natural place of a Jew. It's something lacking about your very neshama, and therefore you can't trust yourself. And therefore you have to look externally at the text of the Torah in order to reach a proper conclusion. It's pretty wild, but it's an amazing piece. I really think it's an amazing, amazing piece, because this line, but Osio Shel Torah Tzrichim Leos Bonei HaMachshava, that is like a summary of the book Halachic Mind, or Soloveitchik's book, in like five words. And Rav Kook is saying that is a Chutz La'aretz perspective. Again, obviously Rav Kook knew Kol Torah Kula. When he got on Halachic Shaila, his Truvos read like the Truvos of any other Gadol Israel who knew Kol Torah Kula. But in some level, intuition, Rav Kook is saying, should be trusted more in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz La'aretz. Great. So that is in terms of the relationship between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and how everything we discuss about Am Yisrael, about the Am and the individual, could only truly, 100% optimally come out when Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael. Now let's take a step back and look at Eretz Yisrael itself. What are some of the qualities, defining characteristics of Eretz Yisrael in the thought of Rav? There are tons, but just to focus on one, partially because it's going to be important for next time we learn, and partially because it's connected to Shavuos a little bit at the end. So we understand that Eretz Yisrael is a very spiritual place. We understand Eretz Yisrael is a place of Nebuah. It's a place of Ruach HaKodesh. It's a place where Kabbalah started. If you just look at source number 8, Rav Kook writes this very clearly. Kook writes, "Hamadimion shel Eretz Yisrael, hu naki v'tahar u'mesugol l'fas ha'emes elokis." The dimayon, the imagination. The Rambam says dimayon is a very important factor in Nebuah. So the dimayon of Eretz Yisrael, the imagination, the imaginative faculty of Eretz Yisrael is clear. It's pure. It's mesugal lafas ha'emes elokis. It is fitting for the revelation of God's truth. Some type of Ruach HaKodesh. It's a place of Ruach HaKodesh. It's a place of Nebuah. But at the same time, Rav Kook definitely did not think that that meant that Eretz Yisrael is some type of transcendental, spiritual, otherworldly place that doesn't have a basis in a regular lived reality. Rav Kook, and this is something which we saw maybe in the first couple of sessions, the higher in spirituality you go, and the more you truly understand the higher levels of spirituality, what type of perspective are you then going to develop? You're supposed to be able to come back down here and see how everything about this world, in some way, shape, or form, is a manifestation of divinity, has a divine root, has some ruchni element to it. So the more spiritual you are, the more you're tapped into Nevuah, the more you're tapped into your Dimayon, you might think that that would lead you to, like, to Eretz Yisrael should be a place of, like, you know, Christian monks. Like, you find all these monasteries on the mountaintops here. That it's a Kadosh place, so you should go and you should meditate, you should connect to the Dimayon and the Ruach Elokim. Rav Kook's perspective, it's exactly the opposite. The more you are connected to higher levels of spirituality, the more you're going to find value in the most mundane and material things. And that's why source number 9, Rav Kook writes, Kishet gadot shal olam ha-mefurad, mitgaberet al hitzgadot ha-yona shal olam ha-meuchad. When the revelation of the world as of disparate elements becomes stronger and overpowers the seeing a unified world, ha-chamiyot mitgaberet al-ruchaniyot, then there's going to be the fight between physicality and spirituality. The more you live in an olam mifurad, where there's spirituality and physicality and there's guf and there's neshama and everything is distinct and I'm different than you, you're different than me, and everybody and everything is in conflict with each other, then you're gonna have a really hard time, because then your body's gonna take over, your taiva is gonna take over, and you're not gonna have a way of fighting it. Look at the third line. Rav Kook writes, Avira de Eretz Yisrael hu hamafkim. But the avira of Eretz Yisrael, that's what allows you to be wiser. Hanusina ara b'neshama laskil esayiso shol olam hamucha. That's what avira de Eretz Yisrael gives you the key to be able to see a more unified world. That you don't have to think of your guf and neshama as being in total conflict with each other, with your intuitions and your book smarts, with the fact you want to connect with, you have a spiritual side and want to connect to God, and the fact you have a job as, I don't know, as a street cleaner, or a plumber, or a computer programmer, or whatever those people do, there is going to be an olam ha-me'uchad, and you can see divinity in everything you do, and that is the avir of Eretz Yisrael. The higher levels of spirituality, which you could be masik in Eretz Yisrael, don't contradict, but rather give meaning to even the lowest elements of life. The Eretz Yisrael, don't kim mi ora chachma yisraelis. In Eretz Yisrael, you're getting nourished from the light of Jewish wisdom, of true Jewish wisdom. Mi mahus l'chayim ruchadim m'myuchadim l'yisrael. Mi ashkafas olam v'chayim yisraelim. Shihi b'yisoda b'yisgabras ha'olam m'muchad olam m'mufura. What is the essential characteristic in this piece of the Jewish perspective on life as opposed to other religions? The Jewish perspective on life is more unified. It's holistic. That when you, the more kadosh you are, the more connected to chamrius you are in the right way. And that is what Avir Eretz Yisrael is supposed to give you. And if you have all these pieces, and this is already becoming a little bit more real in the historical time period of Cook lived in, where if Cook sees the physical building up of the land as a kadosh incentive, as a kadosh enterprise. Look at source number 10. This is I think this is one of the most quotable quotes from Cook about this. Hakadusha Shebateva, he Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. What is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in a non-halachic sense, but in a hashkafic sense? It is Kedusha Shevateva. It is the Kedusha in nature. Vashchina Shiyorza Begamos im Yisrael. What about the Shechina that exists with the Jewish people in Galus? Hua Kisharon Hamid Kedusha Benigud Vateva. It's Kedusha that stands in opposition to nature. So, you know, if I had a board, you could depict this. You have nature. Me, I'm a person. I have typhus. I have a body. I have a job. I have family. I live a regular human life. And then you have kedusha, spirituality, holiness, connectedness to God. In Chutzlaretz, those two things are in opposition to each other. And there's always conflict. And therefore, the Sifrei Musar say you have to beat down your body. The Versal Salanter writes, in some ways, you have to be shovir your guf in order for your neshama to come out. And that is part of what Musar, one school of Musar is about. But that's Kedusha of Chutz Laaretz. What is Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael? It's Kedusha Shevateva. It's finding Kedusha in regular life. And what does Rav Kook say? Aval Kedusha Shaluchemes Negad HaTeva in a Kedusha Shlema. Which level of Kedusha is higher? You would think the Kedusha that is against nature, against natural life, where you see natural life as a neutral or a negative, that is Kedusha. That is a, you would think that's a higher level of Kedusha. Real quick, I say no. That is Kedusha She'ena Shlema. That is not complete Kedusha. Srika Hilios Belua Betamsitah Elyona B'Kedusha Elyona Shia Kedusha Shebeteva Atzma. The Kedusha of Chutzar has to be swallowed up in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Kedusha of nature. The Kedusha of nature is a higher level of Kedusha, which allows you to see the Kedusha. The higher level of Kedusha you are, the more you can see Kedusha in everything. If you're like half a level of Kadosh, then you look down at the regular world, you're like, what is this place? This place is a waste of time. If you reach the pinnacle of Kedusha, then you look down the same way Hashem looks down. This is an amazing place. It's Hashem's garden. Hashem says, I want to live here. Everything is a way of connecting to Hashem. And that is the difference between Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and Kedusha of Chutz Laaretz. And the Rav Kook has a beautiful read of the Gemara that says, "Asidim bati kenesos bati midrashos shebavavos shikavu Eretz Yisrael." That in the future the bati midrash and bati kenesos of Chutz Laaretz are going to be replanted in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? That means that in Chutz Laaretz, what is worth saving? There's Kedusha, the bati kenesos bati midrash. These little oases, these little islands of Kedusha. But it's only an island. It's only an oasis. It's not a land. It's not a full life. Those oases of Kedusha have to be replanted in Eretz Yisrael, where then the Kedusha is mispashet and comes to encompass regular life and regular living and everything about and everything about regular living. I was talking with somebody who's talking to somebody who lives in Lakewood over Shabbos. And he told me that a lot of yeshivos there, high schools, yeshivos, they're building multi-million-dollar buildings. The BMG is like a massive, massive, massive building. So he said one of the Rosh Yeshiva felt like the need of one of these dinners to justify, like, why are we building such an amazing building in Chutz Laaretz? It's not eternal. So he said, and he quoted this Gemara, because really we're building for Nitzchias, we're building for Moshe Mashiach. The Gemara says that the Medrash of Chutz Laaretz are going to be replanted in Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to build a beautiful building here and stay here. And when Mashiach comes, you know, I guess on the wings of eagles, the building will be replanted somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Kook's perspective is obviously that we're supposed to be part of that transition, and we're supposed to take the kedusha that the more concentrated kedusha of just Torah mitzvos without thinking about the rest of life, so to speak, in that way, that we gain in Chutz Laaretz and bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, and there it's going to be mismashed. Just to finish off, this impacts the way we think about the human body. Like a source number 11, Eretz Yisrael, Efshar Lasig, Iksha Basar Shal Guf Yisraeli, Hu Kadosh Mamish Kedushas HaNeshama. In Eretz Yisrael, it is possible to see how the physical body of a Jewish person is just as Kadosh Mamish Kedushas HaNeshama, akin to the Kedusha of HaNeshama. The Yisrael Chokak Lahargiz is a Guf from Yinukas HaLativis. Therefore, you don't have to be so antagonistic to your Guf. But you could go with the flow more. You could follow even your bodily intuitions. Kiyim la'aloso ulatimo tama emesh akaya kodesh. You're supposed to integrate kedusha into your daily living, and that's going to end up elevating even the body. I mean, there are tons of examples of this, but. Just one, it's not really connected to Eretz Yisrael, but I remember Rav David Stav has a sefer, Bein HaZmanim. It's about like leisure activities in Jewish halacha and thought. It's a fascinating book. So he starts off there in the introduction, quoting a story. I think it's about Rav Shimon Shkab, but I hope I mean, it could be wrong. That he was a reshiva in Grundon and tells, and he came to America for like a year to fundraise, and then he ended up staying in YU. In YU for like close to a year, I think he was giving shiur in YU. So he visited Torah Vadas once and gave a shiur. And after he gave the shiur in Torah Vadas, which is yeshiva in Brooklyn, he saw the boys go outside and they started playing baseball or stickball or whatever they used to play. And he was mispoiled. It's like, how could yeshiva bachrim like expect to be kona Torah if there's right after the shiur they're going and playing baseball? And then he had another story about the Meister Eloy, who was Talmud of Chaim Soloveitchik, who came to YU, unfortunately passed away at a young age. That he saw kids playing ball. And he said something like, if only I would have been able to play ball, like my life would have been much better, or something like that. Because he was an Eloy from a young age, he was like put in the yeshiva, and he was on the track to become a gadol, which he ended up becoming. Unfortunately, he got ill and passed away at a fairly young age, in his 40s, I think. But he was one of the big Talmidim of Rav Chaim. He would have been up there with like the Berakhos Shmuel if he would have lived longer. But like these are the two different tfisot. It's like, you know, playing ball. Is that something which should be abstained? You should teach your kids not to play ball? Because like, how can you be kona Torah if, like, right after the shiur you go in and play ball? That's pasnished. Or you say, no, that's like part of regular life. But there's a way to do it. Do it in kedusha. Do it in friendship. You know, you teach Torah values. Teach teamwork values through the ball. You could see the different perspectives. And Rav Kook is saying, if I understand correctly, that Eretz Yisrael is a perspective where obviously you need to have concentrated time of Talmud Torah. You can't just like play ball all day and sit on the beach all day and connect with the kedusha shabbatav of Eretz Yisrael and expect to be a good Jew. It's not going to work. But once you have that concentrated time, there's a lot more going on in the outside world, in the regular life world, than what you could allow yourself in Chutz Laaretz. And just to conclude, the connection to Shavuos is Rav Kook has a nice piece, source number 12, the last source number 12, and in Mamarei Hariya, about his essay about Chag HaBikurim, about the Karban Omer. Then there was a machlokas between the Prushim and the Baitusim, about when the Karban Omer was supposed to be brought. So the Torah says Mimachras Shabbos, the day after Shabbos. So we, the follow the Prushim, that say Shabbos there means the first day of Pesach, which means Motzai Yom Tavishon Shal Pesach. That's when they were kotzer the Omer, they harvested the Omer, and they brought the Karban the next day. The Baitusim, so Mimachras Shabbos means the day after Shabbos, means the first Sunday, first Saturday night after Pesach. So one of the nafkaminas is, let's say, the first night of Pesach falls out on a Thursday night. Thursday night. So Motzei Yom Tov Rishon is Friday night. So according to the Mishnah, according to Ahar Laga, that's Docha, quotes being quotes of the Omer is Docha Shabbos, and your quotes are the Omer on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Menachos describes that a whole ceremony, that the Kohen would go out to the field, and the people would gather around, and he would say, is this a sickle? He would say, yes. Is this a sickle? Yes. Is this a sickle? Yes. Should I be kotzer? Yes. Should I be kotzer? Yes. Should I be kotzer? Yes. And he would chant certain things, and they would say yes. And the reason was, in order to show everybody that halacha is like us, that you're supposed to be kotzer even on Shabbos. So what's the nekudas hamachlokas? So Rav Kook, it's a longer piece, but just the first paragraph. Rav Kook writes as follows. Source number 12. Binyan ha'aretz, building up the land, ha'yisod ha'rashi, ha'chakla'ot, and which the foundation of which is farming, agriculture, it is by non-Jews, by other nations, it is just a vital economic need. But the nation whose entire essence is Kodesh Kodashim, the arts usfasa of whole erkab kulam kodeshim, and its land, its language, its culture, everything about it is Kodesh. Because everything about it expresses all the Kedusha that's there in humanity and the entire cosmos. And wherever there is Kedusha in the world, it flows through Am Yisrael. Even the agriculture itself is absorbed, saturated with Kedusha. That kodesh hazeh shibasana chaklei muvlatu aideza shechagigas dreishas akatzer omer ulehi lemadrigas avodas hakodesh hayoser ayona v'karban and mekudesh imahu karban sibar shidochas haShabbos. That not only is bringing in the karban in the base of mikdash has a din avoda is considered a karban, even being kotzer, even doing the agricultural work in the field, is itself considered an avoda of the base of mikdash, an avoda kedosha, And even that is Docha Shabbos. And that's what the Purushim wanted to emphasize, that there were Jews. We're living in Eretz Yisrael. It's not just the base of Mikdash that's Kodesh. Even the farm is Kodesh Kadashim. Could be Kodesh Kadashim as long as it's done properly. And Rav Kook has these pieces. That's why why mitzvot atzilus v'aretz exist, and that's why they're so important to start learning about and start keeping. Not just because they're mitzvot, and therefore all mitzvot we should keep, and these mitzvot we haven't had a chance to keep in so long, but these mitzvot represent the fact that fruit and produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael is inherently kadosh, and therefore you have to be mafresh shumas, you have to treat it in a certain way, because things that grow here, the teva, things that grow from the ground, is kodesh. And the Baitusim thought, no, the Baitusim had a more bifurcated worldview. And the Baitusim and the Tzaduk and these other sects we know were very, very Beis HaMikdash focused. And that's why one of the reasons, perhaps, why they didn't make the transition. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we don't find these other groups. The Tzaduk and the Baitusim, Essenes, they all stopped existing after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They were very, very temple focused. And they felt that how could you violate Shabbos to do Ketzira? Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is Ocha Shabbos. But what about being kosher in the field? And the whole point of the Purushim is that even Ketzir in the field could be Kodesh. So what did we see today? We saw that, according to Rav Kook, Eretz Yisrael is not just a Kenyan Chitzoni, not just a means towards an end. It is an essential part of a Jewish person and of Am Yisrael. Ramifications of that are in terms of evaluating the purity, so to speak, whatever term you want to use, of Torah thoughts in Torah Mifalim in Eretz Yisrael versus Kotz Aretz. And a certain experience of hominess in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laaretz, a certain allowing yourself to follow your intuitions more in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laaretz. All of that flows from the fact that it's more connected with the neshama of a Jew is able to express itself more freely in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Laaretz. And in terms of what is the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so one angle Rav Kook develops is that the higher level kedusha you have, the more you're able to see kedusha in everything. And therefore, daf in Eretz Yisrael, which is a makom kadosh, where you could reach levels of nevuah, that's where you see the kedusha of everything, of the human body, of teva, of farming, and that's the life of Eretz Yisrael, is this life that's saturated with kedusha, no matter what you're doing. Just to conclude, are you guys familiar with the comic series Higi Hazman? It's like a kids comic series. I don't think they have them here, but my kids are big fans of them. So there's like a time-traveling Tatilumi family that goes to all the important times in Jewish history and interacts with different people throughout history. So it's interesting to see what they choose in terms of what are the most important points in Jewish history that they go back to. Like a series of 9 books. So one of the times they go back to is by Sheni, and the Prushi puts the father to work, to work the field. It's his first time doing physical labor. He is a computer programmer by trade. And the Prushi gives him a whole speech that when he starts complaining, it's like, you think this is hard labor and you're sweating, you're complaining. This is Kodesh. This is Eretz Yisrael. This is Kedusha. You even do this on Shabbos. He basically goes through this entire piece in Memorah Heriah that this is Docha Shabbos. If it was Kotzer Sa'ura in Eretz Yisrael, it could be Docha Shabbos. You see how Kodesh it is. How can you be complaining? No, it's they has it there in a kid's version, but it's all straight out of this piece in Rav Kook. Thank you so much. I hope everybody enjoyed, and I hope everybody has a good night and a happy Shavuos.